The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 27th through Sunday, October 23rd. The commentaries this week were written by Mallard W. Benton, a husband, father, grandfather, and friend who is retired and writes and volunteers in the Atlanta area. He and his wife Althea have been married 42 years. The commentary for Monday, October 17th, begins as follows from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 62. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." My wife and I grew up in Georgia and New York City, respectively, separated by more than 900 miles. Yet our parents were of one mind about the absolute value of keeping the commitments one makes, not just to God, but to anyone or anything. They took to heart the words from Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay fulfilling it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill what you vow." We often reminded our son that he was to see things through, especially when the going got tough. Orchestra, scouts, swim team. It is certainly easy to let something slide down and then off one's to-do list, to drag one's feet and look back wistfully. Among the reasons I always enjoy parish work days is not merely seeing folks turn out to help refresh our campus, but because we are showing each other and modeling for our children the meaning of commitment. Who wouldn't rather watch the game than sweep the walkways? But we're reminded to fulfill what we vow. Now I'll read the full scripture from today's appointed gospel from Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. A Samaritan village refuses to receive Jesus. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. Would-be followers of Jesus. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And the moving forward question for this day for us all to contemplate, how are you doing with fulfilling your commitments? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, October 18th. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 17. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Now the commentary. While I don't mistake my turns as lector for that day in the synagogue when Jesus read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, I do feel called on those Sundays to share God's word as clearly and as earnestly as I can. On those occasions, I imagine that I'm teaching as Jesus was, reading from passages and words generations older. I envision the listeners as attentive to the words today as they were to Jesus and his readings centuries ago. Somehow the years collapse and the relevancy, whether to the world's events or individual lives, shines through with truth and purpose. Today's reading ends as Jesus finishes Isaiah's words, and he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. It's my prayer, once I or anyone else finishes reading, that those in attendance will quietly breathe in what's been said. And now I'll read the entire scripture for this day. It's from Luke 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, have you considered the ministry of lay reader? Talk to your priest or minister about this possible calling. Now the commentary for Wednesday, October 19th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 41. "Let your loving kindness come to me, O Lord, and your salvation according to your promise." We often read in the scriptures words of love and assurance. So much of Psalm 119 is about the law of God. Yet in verse 41, the psalmist recalls the loving kindness of the Lord. In the next verse, the psalm proclaims, "I trust in your words." I find that confidence in Jesus mirrors that sentiment. Jesus walks with us at all times when we are filled with joy and wrung out with grief. He's the light in our darkness, the friend when we're friendless, the hand we reach out to, and the hand that reaches out to us. He's the model of all that the law encompasses, and he's the stretch beyond the law. Confidence, comfort, assurance, and salvation are woven into the psalm and into our relationship with Jesus. And now I'll read the full passage from today's gospel, which is from Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 24. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And the moving forward question for this day is, Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Psalter, is often regarded as a song of praise for God's law. How does reading the psalm through the lens that God's law is love impact your understanding of that psalm? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, October 20th. It begins with the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 35. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. The parable of the Good Samaritan is well known and seems a favorite of faith formation leaders, parents, and clergy in many places. I enjoyed a sermon by Presiding Bishop Michael Curry a couple of years ago at a Verger conference where he inserted the names of prominent politicians as examples of those who might pass by if the wounded man was from a different political party. In this day of such uncivil discourse, it was quite eye-opening. Yet I also find excellent teaching in the part of the verse that doesn't always receive much attention. The Samaritan took the wounded man to an innkeeper, paid the innkeeper to take care of the man, and then promised to make up any shortfall. Did the Samaritan's actions show mercy? They certainly did, but he went further with commitment, action, and a promise of follow-up. He took it on himself to be the salve that the wounded man needed, not just a good guy who bandaged him up, but a friend. He loved him as he loved himself. And now the full reading of this story from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.'" Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And the moving forward question for this day is, when has someone gone the extra mile to help you? We'll turn to Friday, October 21st, for today's commentary, and this begins with Ecclesiasticus, chapter 11, verse 3. "The bee is small among flying creatures, but what it produces is the best of sweet things." When I was in the workforce, my days started well before dawn. After reviewing my to-do list, I set about my business. I was supposed to, you might say, be busy as a bee. It was generally my intent to be done with the grunt work I had to do by the time my colleagues and supervisor arrived at work, and to have completed my list of tasks by the time I ate lunch. The afternoon allowed time for reflection, polishing my work, and planning and ordering resources for future work. I don't think I thought consciously about it at that time. But in looking back, I see inspiration in this passage from Ecclesiasticus. Sometimes the smallest of acts, the seemingly insignificant patterns of behavior, can yield the sweetest of rewards. I did not know which part of my work would succeed, but I focused on fulfilling my responsibilities. I suppose I can thank my mother for instilling this ethic in me early. "Idle hands are the devil's workshop," was a favorite and oft-shared commandment of hers. And now we'll read the full chapter of Ecclesiasticus from chapter 11, verses 2 through 20. "Divide your means 7 ways, or even 8, for you do not know what disaster may happen on earth. When clouds are full, they empty rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. Whoever observes the wind will not sow, and whoever regards the clouds will not reap. Just as you do not know how the breath comes to the bones in the mother's womb, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening do not let your hands be idle, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Even those who live many years should rejoice in them all. Yet let them remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, young man, while you are young, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Follow the inclination of your heart and the desire of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Banish anxiety from your mind and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life our vanity." And the moving forward question for this day is, read through the passage from Ecclesiasticus, Sirach in some Bible versions. It offers some good, straightforward advice on how to be a faithful follower. Now let's look at the commentaries for this weekend. We'll begin with Saturday, October 22nd. And this commentary begins with this passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek ye first was a favorite hymn in our parish, and though the choir provided leadership, this was one that parishioners, ushers, acolytes, and priests were not shy in raising their voices. The words are so instructive and comforting for us. Knock, and the door will be opened. Provides the hope that we seek. Today's reading from Luke also includes Jesus' response to a disciple's request that he teach them to pray. Jesus' answer to his disciple provides us with the basis for prayer used in Episcopal, Anglican, and most Christian denominations. In Luke, Jesus is speaking to us using practical words and examples we can trust. In both the Lord's Prayer and this verse, we learn to ask, communicate, seek, and talk with our God. Whether said or sung, these verses add a song to our hearts. And now I'll read the full passage from Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And the moving forward question for this Saturday. Sing, seek ye first during your prayer time today. If possible, sing it loudly and with gusto. And finally, for this week's program, we'll turn to the commentary for Sunday, October 23rd. And this begins with a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17a. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. I am always inspired by the stories of everyday people who live lives committed to creating something better than what was there when they were born. Finding one's way in the world of relationships, work, housing, safety, and now the constant threat of climate change is a huge challenge for us all. Faith certainly undergirds the journey for many. And we're assured of the Lord standing with us and giving us strength to continue leading lives, which, while not perfect, may be an example to others. What of those without that faith? Who stands by them? Again, reading about the lives of neighbors near and far, I'm convinced that our Lord is in all places at all times, and this love and presence make running the race just a bit easier for all. And now we'll read through the entire passage from the second book of Timothy. And this is chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and then verses 16 through 18. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for this appearing. And now verses 16 through 18. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the moving forward question for this day is, pick one of the saints this month and research their lives. Anyone you select is fine. While their deeds may seem extraordinary, they were also ordinary people, living and breathing and navigating the challenges of life, just like each one of us. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time. Thank you.